So if you've been with us for the past couple of weeks, we've been walking through the book of Jonah. This is the third week in Jonah. We got one more week to go. It's probably going to be two more weeks because Jonah 4 has got a lot to unpack. Jonah receives the word from the God. He decides to run. If you remember last week, I gave you that map. We showed where Jerusalem was, where Nineveh was, where Joppa was, and where Tarshish was. And you remember, Nineveh was the head of Assyria, the capital city of Assyria that God had told Jonah to go and to preach to go and to tell them that they're going to be destroyed. And Tarshish is over near Spain, really in the opposite direction, at the end of the world. Jonah runs to Joppa, runs to Tarshish, in the literal opposite direction of Nineveh. He hops onto a boat and lulled to sleep by a false sense of security. And then God sends a huge storm. The sailors wake him up and ask him what's going on. And finally, after a long night of rowing, the sailors throw Jonah overboard. And then the last verse of chapter 1 says, God sends a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And then last week, we were in the fish with Jonah. We saw Jonah praying to God. We saw that picture on the front of our bulletins of a fish not that much bigger than the Jonah was. Not a whale by any means, probably just a sea monster. Jonah stuck in that cave, stuck with his arms by his side, smelling rotting fish and stomach acid, his skin and hair being bleached by stomach acid. And it's in this tight and claustrophobic space that Jonah prays. He prays to God. He says, God, you saved my life. You saved my life from the grave. You saved my life from death. And of course, Jonah was stuck in his own hellish experience inside this fish's belly in the darkness in the bottom of the ocean. But still, God saves Jonah, hears Jonah's prayer, even from the belly of the fish. Under the ocean, God heard Jonah. And the end of chapter 2 finishes with God commanding the fish to vomit Jonah onto dry land. And that's where we pick up the story this morning. Again, the scripture is a little bit lacks detail for me. I want to know way more information than the scripture gives us. Verse 1, it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it, the message I give to you. And so we have Jonah vomited onto the shore, probably still covered in stomach acid, rotting fish bits in his face and beard. Probably blinking from the bright sunlight. And the word of God comes to Jonah and says, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give to you. And then verse 3 reads, Jonah obeyed the word of God and went to Nineveh. Which is one of those verses that I read and I go, 4 days ago, friends, he went to the end of the world to get away from God. 4 days before this point, he had fallen asleep in a boat. The sailors asked him during the storm, are you the reason why this is happening? And Jonah says, throw me overboard, kill me, because I have angered the Lord. And then he spends 3 days in the belly of a fish, smelly, exhausted, terrified, probably thinking he was going to die a second time and that God was just punishing him. But it says he was vomited out onto the shore. The word comes to Jonah and he jumps up and goes to Nineveh. It's like an immediate change in Jonah, or a 3-day change. the complete turnaround from chapter 1, where Jonah runs to the end of the world, until now, where he goes to Nineveh at a moment's notice. But Jonah walks to Nineveh. It's a huge city that would take 3 days to walk from side to side. He walks a day's journey into the city. He's not even at the middle yet, and he starts preaching. He says that they have been judged by God. They will be destroyed if they do not repent. And I think this must have been one of the greatest sermons of all time. Because upon hearing this, the people believe him. The people believe in God, and they turn around from their sin. They begin fasting. They begin mourning. They put on sackcloth, which is like an itchy shirt, an itchy robe that you wear when you're mourning. Their king finally hears Jonah's message. And he tears off his royal robe. He puts on a sackcloth, looks like he's mourning, and he sits in the dust and in the dirt outside of his palace. From a guy who ran away to the end of the world, Jonah preached a pretty good sermon that morning. Now remember from a few weeks ago, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. The Assyrians had, at this point, been warring with Israel and warring with other countries in the area for a while. That's why when Jonah is called by God and told to go to Nineveh, told to go to the Assyrians, Jonah says, "No, I hate them, God. I'm not going to them. Are you kidding me? I'm a Jew. They're going to kill me, God. I'm not going there." And so the king of Assyria, the king of this warring tribe, this warring country against the Jews, hears this Jewish man and is turned. Believes this simple sermon and is turned, tears off his robe and sits in the ground and is turned. This is a huge gift for Jonah. And so the king issues a decree to all of his subjects. Do not let people or animals, herds or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. They should fast. Animals and humans alike, we should all fast. Do not feed your animals. Do not feed your children. Do not feed yourself. Let both people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Friends, we have to mourn, is what the king is saying. Pretend as if we are mourning. Make it so even the cows in the field are mourning. Because God is going to destroy us in a couple of days. God is going to destroy this city in a couple of days if we do not. Everyone should pray. Pray to this God of the Hebrews. Maybe if we give up our evil ways and our violence, maybe God will forgive us. Maybe God will be just. Maybe he will be compassionate. And then we see in the last line of the chapter, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. It works. The Ninevites repented. The Ninevites turned from their evil ways. They listened to Jonah, and God saved them. And this is important because if we remember from chapter 1 and from verse 2, Jonah was called to preach to the destruction of Nineveh. Jonah pretty much tells God he hates the Ninevites and doesn't want to go. He gets on a boat and sails to the end of the world. God sends a huge storm. God sends a huge fish. God tells the fish to vomit up Jonah. And then he talks to Jonah a second time and makes him walk to Nineveh. The extent God goes in the first three chapters of this book, the amount of effort God puts into getting Jonah into the town to tell them that he's going to destroy the town is ridiculous. Very few places in the Bible do you see such a story where God spends so much time and so much energy to threaten people, to punish people. And so Jonah walks into town. He walks a day's walk into the middle of the city, and he says, "Repent, for God is angry with you. God will destroy you." But seeing them change, seeing them mourn, seeing them pray to God and ask for forgiveness, seeing them turn away from their evil ways was enough for God to forgive them. And I know we are Easter people. We're here on this side of Easter, on this side of Good Friday. We know that God forgives us. But the Ninevites didn't know that. The Ninevites were pagans. They didn't worship God. That's why I find it interesting. This chapter's weird. The scripture that Carolyn read this morning, you see Abraham and God fighting with each other. And we only read a short passage of that because it was too long. The whole scripture reads pretty much like this. Abraham says, "God, Sodom, you're going to destroy Sodom. If you found 50 righteous people in there, surely you would have destroyed them." God says, "No, for 50 people I would save the city." And so then Abraham says, "What about 45? Let's say there are 45 righteous people in that city. Will you destroy that city?" God says, "No, for 45 I would save them." Abraham says, "How about 40? How about 35? How about 30 or 20 or 10, God?" And God says, "No, for 10 I would save that city." This city, who is so disgusting that God ends up killing them anyway once all the righteous get out of town. This city that has lived in time and history that we still talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham stood with God and he argued with God on behalf of the Sodomites. He said, "What if there were 10 righteous people in that town? Surely you wouldn't destroy them." God had reserved judgment for Sodom the same way he had reserved judgment for Nineveh. God had promised to destroy Sodom to Abraham the same way he had promised to destroy Nineveh for Jonah. But for today's scripture, for Jonah, there weren't just 10 righteous people in that town. There weren't just 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 righteous people in that town. The scripture says the entire city of Nineveh turned from their ways. Every single person in that town turned and prayed to God. Stopped being evil, stopped their violence, turned and faced God and prayed. And God said that was enough. And this is why Jonah is so important to us. This is why we're spending so many weeks walking through the book. If God goes through this much effort with Jonah, remember, he runs to the end of the world. God has to send a storm and a giant fish. God hears Jonah from the depths of the sea. God has the sailors throw Jonah overboard. The fish is swimming after Jonah long enough for Jonah to probably die or at least drown in the water before the fish can swallow him. Because these pagans, both the sailors on the boat and the Ninevites in town, all of them repented of their ways. They turned and looked at God. They cried out to a God who they may not even believe exists, or may not even know his full power. They cry out to this God, and God hears them and forgives them. for the record, Jonah freaks out. But that's next week. We're not going to talk about that today because we don't have enough time. But Jonah freaks out that God does this. And then we come into a real fun conversation next week between Jonah and God where they basically yell at each other. But God relents. He doesn't kill them. He doesn't punish or destroy them. He lets them live. He lets them live, and we know now that 40, 50 years from now, the Assyrians, the Ninevites, and the rest of that country overtake Israel. They march the Jews out of their home country. These are the people that God forgives this morning. Because in an instant, they all turned and repented. They all turned and asked for forgiveness. They all turned from their evil ways, and God was happy. And so the question this morning is, how are we like these Ninevites? Yeah, we worship God, we know Him, we know we are forgiven. But what are our evil ways? What are those things that are displeasing to God? What are those things that we're waiting for the sign of Jonah? We're waiting for some guy bleached by whale's stomach acid to come and yell at us about. For Jonah, it was easy. They knew because Jonah came to town and preached a real good sermon. But for us this morning, what does that look like? What does it look like for us to turn around, to repent of our sins, to tear off our robes and sit in the dust and dirt, to put on our sackcloth and mourn, to finally give in and listen to God? Because the truth is, whatever that is, whatever that issue is, whatever that evil way is, God will go to the end of the earth for us. God will watch us as we run to Tarshish. As we board that boat and fall asleep in the bottom of that boat, He will send a storm after us. He will send a fish to save us. He will point us in the right direction, but it's still on us to follow Him. It's still on us to know where we are going. It's still on us to follow Him and to turn around. Turn around from evil and from displeasure. Turn around from violence and oppression. It's all on us. Amen.